everyone, how are you doing today? Hope you're doing very fine and hope the day has been going on well. Well, for me, I wouldn't say it's been quite nice, and that's because of the not so pleasant news that I woke up to this morning about Chadwick Boseman's death. I don't know why it hit me so differently. I mean, the news of his death got me. I really do not know how to feel. I've not been very good since the day broke, and I guess that really affected my activities for today. I was almost giving up on doing something today on the podcast, really, but you know, I just had to learn from Chadwick himself about, I mean, still doing something regardless of how you feel. Regardless of what is going on with you, even though it is unpleasant, you should still pull something good. You can still pull something really good, because that is one thing I gained from the fact that he was diagnosed of colon cancer for 4 years and he could still deliver, I mean, awesomely. Okay, so I had to console myself with those words and just bring myself out today. I'm sorry if I do not sound like myself. I'm doing this because I had to tell myself I must do something today. And well, I would say that I'm actually tagging this a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. Just like I said, I really do not know why I feel this horrible about his death. But fam, it's not pleasant at all. I do not feel good at all. And to every family member of Chadwick Boseman, sending these words to you, and I'm saying that God strengthen you through this period, and I hope and I pray that he rests in perfect peace. You know, sometimes some people do say that, you know, we're doctors and, you know, they make it sound like we're not supposed to have emotions, but don't get it twisted. We have emotions. You know, sometimes you're actually so connected to your patient sometimes that once they die, it's a big blow on you. Sometimes you cannot even function maximally because of the loss of a patient, someone you never knew until, you know, they stepped into your consulting room. And then, you know, the journey just continues and eventually the patient dies. It can be very, very disheartening. It can really deal with, I mean, it can sometimes deal with us so emotionally that it affects your life ultimately. And, well, sometimes we have to rely on our loved ones and people around us to, you know, get back on track. And I really do hope that people outside of the hospital see that. Sometimes we don't even have that. We don't have, you know, that shoulder to cry on sometimes. And it's because, you know, everybody just wants you to be the boss all the time, you know, be in charge of situations all the time. And most of the time, doctors cry, I mean, secretly, because you feel that if you cry outside or people see your tears, you seem like a very weak person or someone that is not in charge. And, you know, they cannot trust your judgment and all of that. And I really wish that the public will start to change their opinion of doctors. We're humans too. Okay, and in this one, I cannot even deny it. I cannot deny that the death of Black Panther. I can almost picture him again in that film. And, well, I'll have to see that again. Just, you know, to see that movie again. And, well, his death also, I mean, reminded me of a 22-year-old boy that was lost to colon cancer during my internship days when I was a house surgeon in University College Hospital in Ibadan. He was 22 years. I can still remember his face and, you know, how much he had to go through. I mean, so much different stages of the cancer till his death. As at the time he died, of course, with the stage 4 cancer, meaning that the cancer cells that have gone rogue had left primary spot, you know, where they developed from, to move to every other part of the body. as at then, of course, I mean, not much can be done to save the person's life. You know, I remember then that he called me when he gave up the ghost to come and do, to come and resuscitate him. You know, that chest compression that we do and then the bagging. I know I came in and I had to start doing that until a senior colleague called my attention to the fact that, well, it's really not much of a good that I'm doing. Even if I resuscitate and he comes back, I mean, to what end? I remember him sometimes in pain. I remember him, you know, most times not looking good. And, you know, the me that would normally just, you know, go around patients and want to cheer them up. Sometimes it's a bit difficult with him, and I completely understand. So when he died, I threw my emotion into it, and I started chest compression. Of course, I wasn't even thinking that if he comes back, would he be grateful that I brought him back? I mean, to the pain, trouble that he went through every day, being alive. So somehow, I'm consoled about Chadwick's death. I suppose it's rest, really. Rest from all the turmoil of cancer cells and of having cancer. And, you know, just like I said, that I was almost giving up on doing anything today, but, you know, I just had to get the energy to say something. Just at the 11th hour, I changed my mind. Topic to discuss today, or to share with us today, I had another thing in mind entirely, but then I had to shift my focus, and I thought that I should say something about colon cancer. Yes. Well, I discussed the kind of cancer on one of my episodes, and that's the one that is quite peculiar to females, and that's the cervical cancer. If you had not listened to it, I would want that you listen to it. And just like I said, whenever I discuss or I talk about any topic on this podcast, it's in a bid to help with prevention because of the peculiarity of our country. Yes, I know that basically this is for Nigerians. I mean, this podcast is for Nigerians. And so the aim of that usually is to help people prevent problems. And the reason I have come to do that is because most Nigerians, most of us really, were not ready when it comes to financial demands of unpleasant diagnosis. So I can talk on colon cancer today. And I'll be brief about it. Just like I said, my focus is going to be on prevention first. I mean, that will be all for today's episode. What is colon cancer? Usually, it's an entity. We call them the colorectal cancer. It's actually a cancer that develops within the gut. And that is the intestine. And, you know, that's the part of the body that is from the mouth to our anus, where we, you know, defecate from, where we poo-poo from. So it's a tract. We call it the gastrointestinal tract. Okay, that's like big English, really. It is from the mouth. It's the tract that travels from our mouth, of course, to the anus. And that summarizes the fact that it is the tract that has to do with food. I mean, digestion of food and the extraction of the meaningful things from what we take in. Okay, so whenever anything, you know, cancer develop along that tract, it is a cancer of the tract. But usually the commonest part that is affected by cancer cells is usually the colon and the rectum. The rectum is the part that is very, very close. Very close to the anus, where the poo-poo comes out from. Okay, I don't want to be speaking in big languages, but then the intestine is very long. Okay, there's the part, just like I told us, it starts from the mouth and then goes through the very lengthy intestine, goes through the small intestine. Okay, the small intestine is where, you know, most of the digestions happen. Sometimes, you know, the important part of the food is extracted, it is released so that the body can make use of it, absorption occurs, you know, and all of that. And then the food will move from there and enters the colon. The colon is, you know, where water is absorbed, you know, and then it moves just along the colon, and then it ends up in the rectum. From the rectum, it moves into our anus, and then, you know, we discharge the feces through the anus. Okay, so we usually call the cancers, just like I said, cancer is commonest in the colon and the rectum. And so the name is put together as colorectal cancer. The colon is the part that leads into the rectum and then to the anus. I hope I've been able to, help you picture what part of the intestine that is. Okay, I'm sorry If I sound a little bit clumsy, I'm really trying to, you know, make things, I'm really trying to make sense of, you know, these things and help you understand it. Okay? But then there are actually certain things that puts people at risk of cancers generally, first of all, and then colon cancer as, you know, me being specific. Okay? And so I'm going to just say one or two things about that. It is important for us to understand what has happened to the people before us, grandpas, grandmas, and all of that, you know, especially for those that are dead. It is smart to actually know about their health or what led to their death, you know, for the people that are dead, the grandpas and the grandmas or the parents that are dead. It is important to know the cause of death because usually family history is very important when it comes to the development of cancers. But for people that, you know, have a positive family history, the meaning of that is that they have someone in the family that suffered from a particular kind of cancer, they are at increased risk of having the cancer. In fact, studies show that they have about 3 to 4 times increased risk of developing colon cancer if a first degree relative is affected or was affected by colon cancer. First degree relative will be your brother, your sister, your immediate brother, you know, and all of that, your mother, your father. Okay, so but then what is important is the knowledge first. Once the knowledge is there, then the person can put in measures to help them to protect themselves from having it. I mean, they run away from things that will increase their risk, run certain tests to be sure, you know, the problem is not setting in gradually. We call them screening tests. You know, they can go for screenings that help to detect this problem when and if they are there early. Because most of the time, when a cancer is detected early, it's not even about cancer alone. Any medical condition at all that is detected early has a higher chance of being cured. And that is the truth that holds till today. Okay, so just to go through the other risk factors, you know, that are important. One thing that I need to mention here is the role that is played by red meat. Red and processed meat. I don't know how to, you know, hammer on this point over and over again. When I hear people talk about, oh, I love meat a lot, I eat meat a lot, I prefer it to fish and all of that, I am very quick to tell them, I have to tell you that you have not loved a very good thing. Okay, if you are the person that would eat meat in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night for like a week straight, you're eating meat, you're moving from this kind of meat to the other one, you're not doing yourself a lot of good at all. And that is because red meat, processed meat generally, has been, I mean, in lots of studies, connected and associated with the development of colorectal cancer, you know, for people that take lots of red meat. Okay, that's the first and significant risk factor when it comes to food, diet. You know, that is the primary thing that our gut works on. Okay, so it becomes important for us to pay attention to the things we eat. And one important thing is reducing the consumption of red meat, especially if, you know, you have a history of colon cancer in your family. In fact, I would even say that you should not go close to it at all. If you've been doing it, I would say please stop immediately, you know. And I mean, we don't necessarily have to wait until it runs in the family. It is something that should be constantly worked on. Red meat is not healthy. For these 5 years of my practice of medicine, I had not seen one thing that smoking helps. It is associated with all kinds of cancer that you can imagine, from breast cancer to cancer of the womb to cancer of the lungs to cancer of the colon. It is associated with every evil thing that you can imagine. Okay, so if you are smoking already, or you're already thinking of, you know, picking it up as a habit, I'm enjoining you today and I'm pleading with you to drop the thought already. If you're smoking, please look for help. Get help as much as you can and as fast as you can. Move close and gradually to quitting smoking completely, because with that, you'd have helped every system in your body to, I would go to the other protective factors with that, but right now I'm talking about risk factors for developing colon cancer. Okay, the other thing that I have to mention here is smoking. I'd said this over and over and over again. Gain health significantly. The other thing, of course, that is close to smoking when it comes to diet is alcohol consumption. Studies have also shown that it is associated with the development of colon cancer. Okay, so for people that would take lots of alcohol, now imagine that somebody takes lots of alcohol, smokes, and then the person loves to eat lots of red meat. Okay, I hope you can connect what I'm trying to say already, right? And then on top of that is the fact that that person now has a family history of someone that has died from colon cancer in his or her family. You know, that is a, I mean, that's a very huge risk already for that person. I hope you're noting the risk factors that I'm mentioning. The third one that I'm going to mention is obesity. It's also implicated when it comes to colon cancer and other cancers, of course. Usually there are things that can predispose to having or developing cancer from the fat cells, because we call them adipose tissues, from the fat cells. Okay, so it is important that if you're obese means that you're a bit on the big side, you know, you have a very huge weight compared to your height, then it becomes important for you to lose weight. You know, weight gain is a function of imbalance in energy. It means that you're taking the energy that you don't need in form of food. You're taking too much food than you make use of. So it starts from you moderating your food, measuring how much you take, and, you know, balancing that with your activity. Having a sedentary lifestyle has also been shown to also add to the risk of developing colon cancer. Okay, so just so I can do a recap of the risk factors that have been documented over and over again. The first is the increased consumption of red meat. Yes, the second is consumption of alcohol. Third is smoking cigarette or smoking tobacco. All of these things that I'm mentioning have been implicated in the development of colon cancer. The next is having a family history of colon cancer. The next is being obese, being exceedingly fat. And then when we choose to stay in one position and not do anything, I mean, reduced activity. Those are things that can predispose significantly to developing colon cancers. Okay, so having talked about the things that can predispose to colon cancer, let me just quickly touch on the things that can protect against it, you know, that can help us prevent it. Number one is that we need to increase our consumption of fibers. Fibers are, you know, food that are very rich in substances that would not stay long in the tummy. They are very common in our vegetables, you know, cabbages, greens, you know, efo, and fruits too. Yes, you know, when you take oranges and then you eat the inner part of it, those are fibers. And the reason they are important, because they are very high in fibers, they move through the intestine faster than any other food. And because they have lesser time to interact with the bacteria within the intestine, they predispose less to colon cancer or to cancers within the gut. Okay, so it is important. Let's increase. Fruits are very rich in vitamins, so we need to increase the intake of this. We need to take things that will help our systems. Drink lots of water. Take water, people. We need to increase our water intake. Our fiber intake. In fact, even we will notice that, you know, when you take vegetables, when you take fruits, you visit the toilet more. It is easier to poo. Yes, because that is what they think, is that if we as Nigerians wait until problem setting, there are lots of other things that will affect getting better. And I'm sorry to say this, but I have to say it. And so prevention is the best for us, and that is why I'm paying attention to this. I've been able to mention the things that are protective, okay? Increasing the consumption of fiber is very important. The next thing that I'm going to also talk about is exercising, increasing our activity. You know, most of the time, what protects is actually a direct opposite of what predisposes or what puts at risk, okay? So I'd mentioned that we should stay away from red meat. Now, what should we eat? Eat food that are high in fiber. Take fish instead of meat. Yes, fish instead of red meat. I mean, eat food that are high in vegetables. Take lots of fruits. Drink good amount of water. Exercise. Be physically active. If our studies have shown that those that are regularly physically active, they have a 25% lower chance of developing colorectal cancer. So these are important things that should be done. We need to maintain healthy weight. We need to maintain healthy weight, because maintaining healthy weight or reducing this weight significantly and deliberately has been shown to actually come with about 25% reduction of risk for the development of colorectal cancer. What makes it even more important now is the incidence of obesity in our children. Oh, it is heartbreaking. I'd actually dropped an episode on screen time and its effect on children in this 21st century, and I'll enjoin you to listen to it so that we can help our children. But there are so many things in this dispensation that is predisposing children actually to obesity. And just like I said, being obese and being on the fat side comes with lots of disadvantages. I talked about some in that episode. We're now seeing more children come down with diabetes, more children with hypertension. You know, hypertension in the young is now coming in. We're seeing people in their earlier, ages having cancers. And obesity is a huge part of it, plays a very huge role. So if we close our eyes to helping our children to have healthy weight, then we might be predisposing them to some very unpleasant, you know, occurrences early in their lives. So we have to be proactive. Parents, guardians, teachers, or guys anywhere, bosses, you know, anybody in the place of dealing with children or younger people, please make it a point of duty to advocate for exercise, advocate for healthy meals at different times. Reduce your alcohol intake, stop smoking, reduce or stop the consumption of red and processed meat. Other food that can help is, you know, fishes can help, like I mentioned already. Garlic has also been found to be helpful. Green vegetables, you know, vegetables generally are also very good because they are going to move through the intestine very fast, and so they have lesser time to interact with, you know, bacteria within the gut, and so there's lesser chance of developing cancer. Today, like I said, just to talk about how to prevent colon cancer, and I've not gone into the details of colon cancer because I've decided to just stick to the prevention today, and you know, just to also pay tribute to Chadwick. I hope that I did not sound too boring. I'm sorry if I sounded so boring. It's because I know you understand, okay? I want to say that please stay healthy. Deliberately do it, Nigerians, okay? And remember, this is a peculiar country. We're a peculiar people. And it's amazing that that peculiarity is not so positive, okay? And I really would want to enjoin us to pay attention to our health now, to pay attention to ourselves right now. Eat healthy things. Even if you have the money to eat all those, you know, sugary processed things, take time to get healthy things. Buy fruits, buy vegetables, take lots of water. You know, those things come cheap. But somehow, I don't know, we really want to show off by eventually doing ourselves so much harm. We need not live life just to impress people. Impress yourself. Do your own assignment. Work on yourself. Stay healthy. Those are the things that, you know, will help you live better tomorrow. Remember that where we are today is a reflection of the decisions we made yesterday. And where we'll be tomorrow will definitely, reveal the decisions we'll make today. Make the decision to be healthy today and to do healthy things for yourself and to pass it down to the generations after you. And they will be grateful for it. That's how much I carry today. And I hope you have a really wonderful day.